these two issues that drives what you think about the tax issues. We'd prefer not to peek ahead, though, and to focus on them as they're set up. Otherwise, we'll wind up going around in a circle, I fear. Thomas?
Thank you, Wayne. The committee received a request seeking clarification on whether an asset with relatively simple associated processes meets the definition of a business in accordance with IFRS 3. In particular, we think that it raises the question of whether the acquisition of a contract to provide services alongside the acquisition of an asset constitutes a business combination. The committee first discussed this issue in its July 2011 meeting and directed the staff to perform further analysis on the interaction of IAS 40 and IFRS 3 and the characteristics of a business when investment property is acquired. We have undertaken outreach to the National Standard Setters Group, asking them to the questions that are reproduced in paragraph 5 of the agenda paper for this committee meeting. The results from this outreach activity are summarized in detail in paragraphs 6 to 9 of the agenda paper. One result I would like to highlight. The responses from the national standard setters reveal that there is significant diversity in practice, both within and between jurisdiction, concerning acquisition of a single investment property with multiple tenants and with associated processes such as cleaning, maintenance, and administrative services such as rent collection in place. Significant diversity in practice between jurisdictions is particularly noted between North America on the one hand and continental Europe and Australia on the other hand. Practitioners in the US tend to consider the acquisition of a single investment property with multiple tenants and processes associated with it to be a business combination when applying the guidance in IFRS 3 and the nearly identical guidance in US GAAP. Practitioners in continental Europe and Australia, however, generally conclude that it is an acquisition of a single asset, i.e. an investment property. We, the staff, are interested to hear from the committee members whether the experience of the committee members conforms with this observation from the national standard setters. Coming back to the committee's discussion in July 2011, we think that both standards, IFRS 3 on the one hand and IAS 40 on the other hand, apply if an investment property is acquired as a part of a business as defined in IFRS 3. Preparers of IFRS financial statements have to assess whether the acquisition meets the definition of a business as set out in IFRS 3, as well whether the acquired asset meets the definition of an investment property as set out in IAS 40. Applying both standards means that the investment property is recognized on the acquisition date at fair value instead of at cost, with the transaction cost being expense and not being included in cost. Apart from the initial measurement of the investment property, all the provisions of IAS 40 apply to the investment property acquired as part of the business combination, especially the provisions in IAS 40 on subsequent accounting. In other words, we don't think that IFRS 3 and IAS 40 are mutually exclusive. In addition, we think that the guidance in IAS 40 on ancillary services cannot be applied to delineate a business combination from the acquisition of a single asset, or the scope of IFRS 3 from the scope of the initial recognition requirements in paragraphs 20 to 29 of IAS 40. Instead, we think that these paragraphs have been developed to differentiate investment property from owner-occupied property or to delineate the scope of IAS 40 from the scope of IAS 16. Furthermore, we think this guidance cannot be applied to determine whether processes associated with investment property are insignificant and do not give rise to a business, since we conclude from the guidance in paragraphs BC 80 and BC 20 of IFRS 3 that the board wanted a broad definition of a business which is not in line with the guidance in paragraphs 11 to 40 of IS 40. We think the dividing line between a business combination and the acquisition of a single investment property could be assessed relative to the amount of property administration service that an average person could render in-house in his or her spare time alongside his or her ordinary employment. Services that go beyond this line typically require the involvement of professional service provider or an organized workforce, which we think indicates that the processes have at least some importance to the asset and so define it as a business. We think that further application guidance in IRIS 3 and IS 40 on this issue, as explained in paragraphs 30 to 32 of the agenda paper, can contribute to a consistent application of the definition of a business, whereas application guidance of more general nature would be added to IRIS 3, investment property specific guidance could be added to IS 40. In addition, we recommend performing outreach to interested parties from industry sectors other than real estate sector to verify the proposal for the application guidance of general nature and to find out whether application guidance or interpretation should be developed for other kinds of assets and what this guidance should look like. Although the boards wanted a common definition of a business, such a clarification might result in a difference between IFRS and US GAAP. To avoid this difference, we are in an ongoing dialogue with the FASB staff on this issue with the aim to develop a common proposal. If the committee agrees with our recommendations, we will present at a further discussion the results of the discussion from the outreach to the FASB and other interested parties from other industries together with draft application guidance at the November 2011 committee meeting. We want to ask the following questions to the committee. Does the committee agree with our analysis presented in the agenda paper? Does the committee agree that the application guidance would improve consistent application and financial reporting? Does the committee agree with our recommendations presented in the agenda paper? And does the committee agree with our proposal that the committee should recommend that the board should address this issue through an annual improvement process? Thank you.
One other question that I think we'd all be interested in. Thomas has said there is a, appears to be a geographical at a minimum diversity. I think the other question we'd want to know is, if the staff recommendation were adopted, how large a change in practice do you envision that? How big a shift in practice would you envision that suggests? I think Laurence is up first, and then Ruth, then Guido.
I would start answering your last question before giving my comments on the staff paper. I think that if we were going to the staff proposals, this would, particularly in Europe, create a significant shift in the practice. Now, coming to the paper, I do not support the direction that is being taken. I do not support what is being proposed in paragraph 31 and captions A, B, and so on about the rebuttable presumptions that when you have ongoing services, this creates rebuttable presumption that there are processes that gives rise to business and that in the fact that you could obtain from external suppliers if you did not run the race is also an indication that there might be a business. This issue about when you have an asset with some processes, whether it makes a business, I believe is a very complicated issue to answer. The complexity comes from the standard itself, because when you read paragraph B8 and B10, B11, understanding whether those are processes creates a business, for me, those two paragraphs combined together are not clear to me. I would distinguish situations where, for example, you have this building where you have a cleaning contract or security contract together, where those contracts somehow makes the quality of the assets you are purchasing. It's part of the nature of the assets you are purchasing. So it's not a business. It's just you are purchasing a building of high quality building. It's not a business per se. What would make a difference for me to make it a business is if there is a capacity to renegotiate those cleaning business, to renegotiate the security contracts and so on, so that it's not just because you have contracts, it's the ability to develop that is important. And so when I look at your recommendations, and when you have those services, and you say, ask yourself whether those services are significant and significant, find myself, how am I going to determine it as well? So I'm definitely not convinced that this is the right direction to go. I believe that there is a much more bigger issue to solve, which is to understand what those paragraph B8 and B11 of IFRS 3 mean. When they say B8, you need inputs and processes. These are essential, two essential elements for distinguishing the business. And then in B8 it says, a business need not include all the inputs and processes that the seller uses in operating that business if market participants are capable of acquiring the business and continuing to produce outputs. So isn't it contradicting what was just said before? And then you have this B11 that also puts some focus about whether the integrated set is capable of being conducted and managed as a business by a market participant. It is not relevant whether a seller operated the set as a business or whether the acquirer intends to operate the set as a business. When I read these two paragraphs, I'm not much advanced. I'm not sure. Applied to our case, it helps us much. So I see it a more fundamental problem.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, you're next.
I have a similar concern to Laurence. First, Thomas's question about do we see jurisdictional differences? The answer is yes. There is a difference between the interpretation of the definition of a business that we're seeing in the US compared to other jurisdictions. We think partly it stems from some SEC decisions that have been taken and also partly from the fact that there isn't an equivalent to IAS 40. So the IAS 40 problem doesn't exist in the US because there isn't an IAS 40. So the particular problem you focused on here, which is IAS 40, is just a tiny piece of the problem. And furthermore, the problem in IAS 40, which you correctly identified, is the distinction between an investment property and an owner-occupied property sounds a bit like the distinction between a single asset and a business, but it's not. But that's the way it's turned out. It's an old standard. It was written long before IFRS 3. So I think IAS 40 is actually a bit of a red herring in all of this. The big issue is, what is the definition of a business? And one of the big issues I think we've identified in the letter we sent in is, in the definition in IFRS 3, it talks about an integrated set of activities that is capable of producing. And it's the capable of that we see problems in practice with, because almost anything is capable of producing outputs. Anything. You could buy an empty ship, and I think that was one of the cases in the US, an empty ship with nobody on, nothing associated with it, and say, well, it's capable of producing revenue. I just need to buy in the staff and the entertainers and the food and all of that, and so I bought a business even though all I actually paid for is a ship. So I don't think the IFRIC can solve the issue. I don't think it's something we can address. I think it needs to go back to the boards. It does need to be addressed by the FASB since it's a converged standard. the problem with IAS 40, though, needs to be addressed separately by the ISB, given the US doesn't have that standard. But I think it should be a subset of that work.
Joanna?
On a similar note, but I will start by saying that I was one of those at the discussion last meeting who was very vociferous on saying that I saw a conflict between 40 and 3, and that there is absolutely no doubt in my specific jurisdiction, but also I think going broader to Australia, that acquisitions of investment properties that include tenants and all the other things are generally considered as an acquisition of an investment property, i.e. follow 40 and not 3. Having said that, in the intervening period and read the information, I do believe that, if you like, looking at 3, that there are some very strong arguments for saying that some of those that I have previously, and I'm a director of a property investment company, have treated as IAS 40 asset acquisitions should probably be treated as business combinations. So I think that that is one issue, and I wonder, in fact, whether we can, despite the fact that there is diversity, whether in fact we can deal with that actually through a rejection decision, effectively to say that it is clear you do need to at least consider 3 in circumstances where you acquire an investment property. Having said that, I do believe that part of the issue is because of exactly what Lawrence and Ruth have said, that B7 to 11 are very, very confusing as to what is a business combination, and therefore to me that should be the focus of any project that is done. I strongly object to, I have to say, having additional guidance that deals with the 43 issue. And to me, it is actually far better that somebody, and probably the board, and it's probably not annual improvements, but I don't know, actually deals with sorting out B7 to 11 so that people can actually understand what those paragraphs actually mean in terms of what is a business combination. And I think that we will get a long way there by doing that. Now, whether we do that as a ISB thing or we do it with the FASB, I don't know. But to me, that is probably the most constructive way of dealing with it.
Just as a backgrounder, I was around when we did both versions of 3. The board's discussions, and from that I infer their intention, we're around making the definition of a business very broad. The specific concern raised by several board members at the time that I recall was that people would attempt to escape business combination accounting and thereby escape the recognition of goodwill and all of the disclosures that go with a business combination by attempting to characterize something as the definition of a business. So the conversations that I recall were around making that definition quite broad. It's a perennial problem. It's nothing new to 3. It existed in the old business combination literature as well. But I do think, and I agree, it's not the greatest section of standard setting in the world. But that was the intention, as I recall it, was to have it be broad, which would tend to support Thomas's conclusion that a building with existing tenants is a business. Let's put your microphone on so I get that on the record.
And I probably don't dispute that now. I can accept the fact that such would be considered as a business, but there is no doubt that currently in New Zealand, and I think probably across quite a lot of Australia, that is not generally dealt with as a business combination. And from what I'm hearing, it's not in Europe either.
I suspect that in the United States, if you looked beneath the Big Four to local and regional practice, you might find the same diversity there. I think perhaps people who aren't accustomed to dealing every day with merger and acquisition activity would be more inclined to view it as a business, or as a, excuse me, as an asset purchase. Cass, you want to come in and then Margaret? No, just let me work it here. There you go. Yeah.
Well, I'm a little bit concerned to expand the business definition to implement to investment property from investment property to acquisition accounting. And then that is particularly a kind of implementing companies for IFRS, like in Japan or some Asian companies, because we have an equivalent standard, and it's not used to deal with that business combination, unlike maybe in the U.S. or some other companies. So I think I support that further research and then clarification of the guideline, but leaning toward more focus on investing properties.
Okay, Guido, I got you out of sequence, so let me take you and then Margaret.
Thank you. Interesting to read the arguments of the staff. I don't think they are very helpful because I don't think they address the issue that we have here. I understand now from what you said that the board was inclined to define very broadly IFRS 3 and the staff referred to BC 18, but I think BC 18 addresses a different issue. It just tells you that you don't have to transfer all the inputs and processes because the buyer might have this process already in place, but still you need to have, and that's also in the paper of the staff, not insignificant processes or significant processes in order to have a business. And I think that's, at the end of the day, the heart of the problem that we are looking at. Are ancillary services insignificant processes? And the question, and this question has not been answered by the staff. So if I look at the proposal that the staff made in paragraph 31, I think it's not very helpful because if you look at caption C in there, it still asks the question, are the services significant or not? And that's actually the question that we need to answer. So that's not very helpful. Instead, what I found very helpful is what the national standard setters answered under question 4, and that's on page 5 of the agenda paper, especially in letter 1, in letter I. And there they distinguish administration functions, management functions, investment management functions. And so from my point of view, if you look at the property and that might be a way to look at the whole problem, is property administration functions like cleaning, security, rent, and service charge collections. That, at least in Europe, and I understand also in Australia, are things where people say, well, this is not a process in the sense of IFRS 3. When you look at property management functions and property investment functions, it probably is. And so from my point of view, it might be a way to look at it from this angle and say, well, if you have these cleaning functions and this kind of stuff, well, that's ancillary services because that's also written in this way in IS 40. But if you have an investment management function because you have several buildings or the building is a very complicated kind of building with a lot of tenants and maybe you have businesses down there and so you need all the other functions to run this business, then I would say yes, then we are probably in the business side. So if that's the way we look at it and we just would deal with the real estate issues, then we could deal with it in IS 40, I think, which I would agree with you would make sense to look at also other industries. Then we would probably need to deal with it in IFRS 3, in the definition what is a business. So if we would not look only in real estate, but also I think telecommunications was one of the other examples that you brought, or some other, then IFRS 3 would be the right standard to look at. But again, I think the way we could deal with it is if we concentrate on real estate, is go to IS 40 and then maybe distinguish those administrative functions from management, property management functions, investment management functions.
So, Guido, just to try that on for size, I guess then if I were looking at an apartment block, you'd probably say that those are in the first category of just administrative.
Probably. It depends on the fact pattern, yes.
But let's take a 50-unit apartment block. That's probably, you'd think, just administrative. If I was looking at a shopping mall, then you'd say, no, there's an awful lot of that other stuff going on. And so you'd make that kind of a distinction. And so even though both are investment properties, you'd cut them that direction. Is that pretty much what you're suggesting?
I would say the second example that you brought us probably more within a business because
right.
It needs property management functions, investment functions, and this kind of stuff.
All the rest of that stuff, yeah. Okay, that's an interesting perspective. Who did I have next? Margaret, I think.
That in 40 that you're allowed to capitalize your acquisition costs, and in 3 they have to get expensed. So people are more reluctant to call something an acquisition of a business versus of an asset for that reason. And in the U.S., since we don't have a similar investment property standard, that people are more likely to go for treat it as a business acquisition?
I don't know.
So is that something that needs to get specifically addressed?
That's one of the reasons why people
are concerned about it,
right.
Is because of the different
because
treatment
of that.
Of transaction
yeah.
costs. I had a question for Gaeta. Oh, he's gone. When he comes back. Just in terms of your line of thinking about whether that might be helpful, that on page 5, little 1, what I'm struggling with is the wording in IS 40 about ancillary services and the distinction between owner-occupied property and investment property, because that's where I think things get very muddy. And what I'm not clear on is whether you think that focusing on those types of functions, property management functions, etc., would then, if somebody has a lot of those, would then that automatically throw them out of being an investment property into owner-occupied and into a business because there are so many ancillary functions. And to me, that's a big part of the issue that concerns us. And I think Thomas correctly said that the distinction between ancillary services being significant or not being significant is to delineate owner-occupied from investment property in IS 40, not to distinguish between do I have a business or not. But it seems that the thinking is a bit muddled around the two. And some of the thinking that's coming back from the national standard setters seems to indicate that if you have enough of those ancillary services, then you're a business. But it's ignoring that IS 40 says, well, not only doesn't say that, it says, sorry, you don't have an investment property, you have an owner-occupied property. And then does that mean automatically you have a business? So I think we end up right back in square one, which is, are IS 40 and IFRS 3 mutually exclusive? Did the two even think about each other when they were born? And I would suggest no, they didn't. And I think that's what the board needs to address.
But you think it is specifically around the ancillary services discussion?
Well, I think that complicates the problem in respect of investment properties.
That's what I meant, yeah.
But I still, as I said earlier, I think the issue is far broader than investment properties.
Gaeta?
Full answer to your question, but what also drove me was when you acquire a business, you have goodwill. And if you have an investment or you have a real estate with only property administration functions like cleaning, security, rent, and service charge, and not the other ones, where should the goodwill come from? I see the point that then the question is, well, if you have more than these ancillary property administration services, is it then a business or owner-occupied? So then the next problem is, how do we distinguish those both? Yeah, well, I don't have a good answer to that, though. I just thought about the first one.
Just to clarify on the goodwill question, if you've got goodwill, you must have a business, but even if you've got a business, it doesn't necessarily mean you've got goodwill.
I agree. The only thing I was saying is I can't imagine a real estate with only these property administration functions, cleaning and so on, that creates goodwill. You need to have something else like property management function and this kind of stuff, you know. The knowledge of people that manage those real estate that at the end of the day gives you goodwill, which is something more than just the worth of the real estate itself. And that's not cleaning.
Yeah, I have to admit two observations. First, it occurs to me that I have been systematically mispronouncing two names, Gato and John, and I apologize. If I mispronounce anybody else's name, please let me know, because it's unintentional.
My name was perfect, you know, because it's an Italian name,
and use it
Greek, which isn't Italian.
Well, I understand, but when Ruth used it, I figured I must be wrong. And I've now forgotten. Oh, I know. I have always found it troublesome that I can have an owner-occupied company property that the owner doesn't occupy. And that goes back to the owner doesn't occupy a shopping center. How can it be owner-occupied? So it's a weird setup. But Scott, you're up next.
Let's see. We're going back. Not on.
No, I'm sorry. No, I pushed the wrong button. Right.
Going back to the questions we were first asked, one, I think the diversity in practice is there. There is diversity within jurisdictions in general about what processes are sufficient to make it a business. And then in the real estate area, there is geographic diversity as well, the North America versus rest of the world. Diversity. So the real estate area is the only one where I think there's really that geographic difference. I think outside of real estate, it's general chaos trying to figure out. But there's nothing you can lay specifically as a difference between different geographies. I agree with the staff's analysis. I agree with the way that Thomas has proposed handling it. I think that would address most of the real estate issues and help with other issues. That being said, I don't hear general agreement to go the route that that Thomas has suggested. But what I have, I think, heard general agreement about is that the scope of IAS 40 and the scope of IFRS 3 are not intended to be mutually exclusive. That is, you can acquire an investment property and still have it be a business combination. I think I also heard agreement that the definition of ancillary services in IAS 40 is for a different purpose than the discussions of sufficient processes in IFRS 3, and therefore you don't decide whether you have enough processes to be a business by considering whether everything meets the definition of ancillary services in IAS 40. Those are different analyses, and you could have an acquisition of an investment property that is still a business. I think we could clarify that through annual improvements and leave for more substantive consideration the issue of what in the world do B8 and B11 tell me to do in general in evaluating whether there's enough processes to be a business. Maybe we can take care of the real estate issue. I shouldn't say take care of it. We can help with the real estate issue with some small clarifications in the standards. And then we might also separately consider whether we or the board want to try to do something with the broader issue of what's a business.
Laurence?
Yeah, with respect to the practice, I wanted to bring some nuances in what I have been able to observe in Europe. While many people would consider that an investment property on its own, it's not a business, though sometimes real estate companies have been considering that when you buy a bunch of investment properties together, say to expand activities in Switzerland or in England or whatsoever, in fact you are buying a business in that case because of the synergies between all the buildings. Also, if you are a company that is not in real estate and that you decide to enter the real estate business and you will buy an investment property, also in that case, you may decide that you're making business combination because you are entering a new line of business. So my point is to say that the practice has been also to consider who are you, who is the preparer, and what is it purchasing? Is it purchasing only a single investment property just to complete an already existing large portfolio of investment properties, in which case they would have considered more, they would have considered it more to be a single asset? Or are you purchasing a bunch of investment properties, which is more like expanding some operations in some places, in which case it would more be considered to be a business combination?
Guido?
Because I don't know whether I understood Scott correctly. If he said that even if you only have ancillary services, it may still be a business, I would have a problem with that, because I don't think that that's a business, because it's not significant processes. What has been the example given by the staff in the paper is different, as I understand it. The example is you have a business, and could you have within the business investment properties? I guess everybody agrees, but that's not the question. The question is, do I have a business at the beginning? If I have only real estate with ancillary services, and what I've heard, at least that's my view, is that some people say no, with ancillary services, and that certainly is the view in Europe, that people say if you only have cleaning services, it's not a business. You may have to think about it if you have a group of real estate that you are buying, if you have these other services, that's fine, and maybe that's the business. But I don't know whether I understood you correctly, but if I understood it correctly, I tend to disagree with what you said, Scott. Okay?
Let me try this. I've heard first the suggestion that it would be useful to restrict this, whatever we do to real estate, so that we don't wander off into other areas that we're not quite so sure of. That makes it more manageable. Cato directed our attention to paragraph little I on page 5 as a possible dividing line, especially in the context of real estate, that might work fairly well for distinguishing whether or not you had a business acquisition or just an asset acquisition. Ruth has pointed out somewhat separate track that the ancillary services discussion in 40 is also a muddle, but I think you'd agree that's not directly relevant to whether or not I have a business combination. It just confuses things. Okay. And finally, Laurence brought up the point that your decision may be path dependent, because if you are in the business of acquiring investment properties, you might reach a different decision than if you are acquiring one for the first time, or if you're entering a new geographical area or something like that. Not absolutely sure what Alan Teixeira would say about that one, but it's worth pushing that one. So my first question is, does that, I saw with only a couple of exceptions, general disagreement with the proposition in the paper, which is that anything with existing tenants is a business combination. I saw only a couple of folks at this end agreeing with that one. So if we pursued it kind of along the lines I just summarized, does anybody object to us continuing to work it on that basis? And Joanna, you're going to object.
I do object because I think that that is creating some fine lines, if you like, or some rules to say if it's this, it's a business. If it isn't, it's a property acquisition. I believe that to give either some tweaks to the standard or in a rejection, to say, think about it, use your judgment, but at least go to three and consider, is it a business? Without actually giving the definitive rules. I'm very much against giving, you know, using little I or using you're acquiring a business to actually say those are the things that make you say it's a business. You've still got to use judgment, and I think we still want people to use judgment, but we actually do want them to use judgment as opposed to saying, I'm just in 40, so I'm ignoring 3, which I think is what is happening now.
Can I put you down as undecided?
No.
You can. It'd be wrong, but you could put it out.
Never wrong.
Any other objections? Andrew.
I'm not sure it's an outright objection, I suppose. But, I mean, I think there's general agreement around the room that it's not just an investment property issue. And I think it would be good to try and sort this problem on a broader basis, and I think that you couldn't do that by an annual improvement, I don't think.
No,
I think you'd have to do that through the board. So I'm not quite sure of the merits of just trying to fix an investment property situation, particularly as, if I understand the paper correctly, we're still in the midst of outreach to the FASB and other industries, so to sort of decide on a course before we've completed that process seems slightly premature. So I guess I'd say I'm undecided as well. I would prefer to see it on a broader project sorted out on that basis, as opposed to just picked off as an investment property issue.
Good. I think I'm not very far away from what Joanna said. I'm also not a friend of rules, but the way I was thinking of this little I on page 5 is more like, okay, yes, you have to think about whether it's business or not, and here are some indicators that help you making this decision. Because if we follow your proposal, we will have the same problem that we had before. There will be diversity in practice. Nobody will change their accounting, and we will still have the differences. Andrew's view, as much as I would like to come up with a conclusion for all kinds of industries, what a business is or not, Wayne just said there was a guy working 2 years on common control transactions, and it will take us 10 years to work on the definition of what a business is if you look at all the issues. But maybe it's worth a try, but I think it's not possible for us to do that.
Oh, no, I don't say that. It's too broad. But you're going to tell us what we do say.
Nah, probably not. Oh, it's my turn. Okay. With respect to page 5, little I, I actually thought there were some things under property management functions that I'd have thought could have been ancillary services under 40. So that's why I thought, you know, that you were in agreement that the mere fact that everything you have is ancillary services doesn't mean it's not a business, because I'd have thought there'd be some property management things that were ancillary, like lease management. But maybe that's not the way people think about it. I'm not entirely sure. The other thing I just wanted to bring up, and the main differences here we've laid out, it's the treatment of costs and it's goodwill.
And tax.
And tax as well. That's fair. So just in thinking about how this plays out, I was trying to kick around in my head, assume that we account for it as an asset, So we capitalize the costs, we account for it as investment property, we mark it to fair value. Fair value is what you could sell it for, which wouldn't include the costs that the buyer would incur. So 5 minutes after I record it at cost, I have to mark it down to fair value and make those transaction costs go away. Plus, if there was goodwill that I didn't record separately, I recorded that as part of the property, and then that goes away. I started going around in circles. But if it wasn't a business, it wouldn't be goodwill, right? You wouldn't record it as goodwill. You'd record it as part of the value of the asset. And then you think when you sell the asset, you'd assume that you'd sell the goodwill as well. It's started getting very circular to me, and I wondered if we were doing fair value correctly, were we going to wind up in the same place on what the investment property is on the books for anyhow? I'm not sure. The tax piece, though, is very different.
The tax piece is different, and I'm not sure IFRS 13 would have told you that you'd embed the goodwill in the value of the property.
Well, in fact, I would think it would tell you you can't. But yeah. On the other hand, if you initially record the property at cost, and then the next day you have to record the property at its fair value, not including the goodwill, you write off the goodwill, and that's not going to happen. But I was having trouble figuring out what the next day's accounting entries were.
Wait, what did you know? Ruth, I think you're up.
Yeah. Your original question about would anyone object to limiting it to real estate, I would, because I think that industry could probably fairly say, why have you singled us out to tell us whether or not something we've acquired is a business and you've left everybody else alone. So the issue is much broader than investment property, and I don't think we should limit it to real estate. And that's why I don't think we can deal with it. I really do think it needs to go back to the boards with the input that that we can give them and the thinking we can give them. But I think it needs to go back to them. And as Thomas has said, there is outreach with further industries happening, and I think we should wait to hear from them before deciding whether to stay, keep it narrow, or to go more broadly.
Raj?
Yeah, before starting that discussion, my initial thinking was safe, too big for us to go for it. After hearing the discussion, I was saying maybe we can give a try in the directions you were pointing out. I do believe that the real issue that the real industry is facing is the tax issue. It's not so much the administration costs. It's really a tax issue, and we have a paper later on when you have an asset that is wrapped up in a corporate shell, and that ties it as well. With respect to the scope, I know a couple of times recently I've been asked for wind farms. Wind farms, you have the equipment and the license to produce electricity and so on. So when you buy a wind farm, you're buying PP&E, or are you buying a business? I'm not answering.
So you're making a charitable contribution. That's another story.
Okay. I don't perceive broad support for the approach I outlined, so I am open to suggestions on what we should do. I would tell you that my expectation is that if you kick this to the board, they will kick it into the post-issuance review.
Yeah.
This was a vexatious problem in the first place. It ain't going to get any easier. So in terms of providing assistance to people, we would be leaving the situation pretty much untouched for a couple of years. Having said that, though, I'm open to suggestions. Ruth?
I
guess the question is, how urgent is this issue? I mean, I can think of much more pressing matters of the day that could be resolved by the IFRIC than this particular issue and some of the others that we have later. So would it matter if it went to the board and the board took a few years? Is it a pressing, urgent issue? Do we know where it came from and where the concerns are coming from?
Joanna, and then Gaeta.
I guess, is it pressing and do we need to do something? Is there something that we can do? And I come back to, as much as anything else, and maybe other people in the room with your international or global things can work across the world, but I wonder whether simply by, if you like, almost moral support or putting it in IFRIC updates that this has been discussed and, you know, we acknowledge that there are issues of determining whether it's a business, but in everything that you acquire, you should at least look to see, is it just an asset acquisition or is it a business acquisition? Will at least make people in some of the jurisdictions that at the moment aren't even thinking about it, actually thinking about it. So that is helping to get rid of the really, really big, potentially getting rid of the really, really big diversity without actually necessarily helping people how to do it and then acknowledging the fact that, if you like, it might take 2 years for the board to do the actual other bit about, you know, for everybody. So the lack of urgency there, but at least highlighting it out into the world that this is an issue that people need to think about, because I would argue that there are certain countries or certain places that just aren't thinking about it.
So, and this is going to sound more pejorative than I mean it, but that's sort of the look but not how. Others? Margaret?
Take a two-pronged approach and say we think we could issue an interpretation with respect to real estate, but recommend to the board that they consider this then the broader issue as part of post-implementation review. Agenda decision.
I would have to say that given the comments about the change in practice, even in the real estate industry, my recommendation to you would be that it has to be an interpretation, that you can't do it as an agenda decision. Well, I think it would probably go beyond annual improvement, too. That would be my concern. Kato?
I was also thinking about annual improvement, really, because I think the question was asked by somebody who was concerned about diversity in practice in real estate, and I can confirm there is divergence. And I don't know of many countries that are not covered by my firm where this issue is not known. So maybe it's a big deal in the real estate. It might be. There are questions coming up, wind farms, solar parks, and this kind of stuff, but this discussion is going on for real estate now for quite some time. We couldn't come up with a conclusion. So my option would be to deal with it as an annual improvement project within IS40 to do it. And the broader one, I mean, we have this outreach, and we should look at it, but at the end of the day, that's something the board can only deal with. What is a business? And I can only wish good luck to the board because, I mean, there's a good reason why the board did this definition very broadly and people are struggling with it because there are so many different industries around the world. I can't see, well, good luck to the board whether they come up with some better definition of what a business is, but that's on the board's project, not ours.
Okay, I think I have Andrew, Fei Long, and Sean.
Well, just actually a question to Guido. In terms of the wider board project, the word capable might be worth looking at because I think that does cause some issues. But what would the annual improvement to IS40 say? What would we be saying?
Well,
I cannot speak for the committee, but at the end of the day, it needs to be something that addresses, gives some indicators, say, well, if you acquire an investment property, here are some indicators that you may want to look at, whether it's an investment property or already a business.
Probably have to put that in both places so that people wouldn't mistake it, yeah. Feilong?
In China environment, a single asset property transaction happens occasionally. We have not seen much diversity in accounting for when they do take place. They are usually accounted for as a business combination, although some specific facts and circumstances of some individual case may result in different conclusions. I think that the paper pay more attention to this some of estate property. We may need to look at the impact from other industries as well. In the paper, staff is recommending more outreach. I'm not sure whether when you can get back the result from the outreach activities. And at the current stage is too premature to ask that question, like in paragraph 4, 40, 41 at the current stage, given that we would get more information and assessment from the outreach in the future.
Sean?
Well, on the topic of what we could do, I think my sense is that there is some perception out there that 40 and 3 seems to be conflicting or somehow not on the same basis. And first of all, I think it will have a big impact, so it has to be an interpretation or an amendment and an improvement, sir. I think if I was to tackle that, I wouldn't try to tackle IFRS 3. I think it's way too big. I think it's a matter for the board. But I think we could do something on IFRS 40. What I would try to do is maybe try to give a sense that the two are not mutually exclusive. That will be a first message that I will try to get through. I would get rid of insignificant, because if something is insignificant in IAS 40, how can it be significant in IFRS 3? So it's not that it's insignificant. It's insignificant maybe in the context of IAS 40. But we need to, that's subtle, but we need to somehow to convey the message that when you are in IAS 40 for the purpose of the classification in IAS 40, some processes are maybe less relevant than others, but not you would say these are insignificant because you're caught with IFRS 3, which has a broader scope and maybe wants to capture those insignificant processes. So if I would go forward with that, I would say let's try to get an annual improvement of IFRS 40 that would try to distinguish the context of IAS 40 from IFRS 3.
Scott, can you wrap it up, and then I'll try and see if we've got a basis?
I have a shot. I think I agree with Sean that we ought to try to do an annual improvement of IAS 40, and I'm thinking on the fly here, but IAS 40, paragraph 20, right now reads, an investment property shall be measured initially at its cost. Transaction costs shall be included in the initial measurement. I think the annual improvement might be to that paragraph, say, an investment property acquired in a business combination shall be recognized and measured in accordance with IFRS 3. An investment property acquired outside of a business combination shall be measured initially at cost with transaction costs included in the measurement. And then a paragraph, paragraph 22 is now blank, so maybe we can bring back paragraph 22, to say in evaluating whether the acquisition of an investment property is business combination or not, look to IFRS 3. Full stop on the annual improvement. We still leave open that, hey, we had a lot of trouble applying IFRS 3, but at least now it's clear in IAS 40 that you got to look to IFRS 3. And then, as to the broader issue of what is sufficient processes to make something be a business, while I'd like to be optimistic and think we could do something along the lines Guido has suggested, I think that even that may be too difficult for us at this time, and so I think we got to kick that into some later project, either us or the board or the post-implementation review or what have you.
Okay, so you're proposing sort of a variation on Joanna's.
Yes. I think Joanna and I'm in the same place as Joanna and John. We ought to make sure people don't forget about IFRS 3 when they're looking at IAS 40, but that's all.
I heard two parts of the 40 versus 3. One is the don't assume just because it's an investment property it isn't also a business.
Right.
Your proposal. The other was don't get confused by ancillary services in 40 versus whatever the language is in 3, that tell people those are two separate things.
That'd be good.
And independent of one another. I also, since this is going to have to come back anyway, heard some sympathy for some more outreach in potentially other industries other than just investment properties. I would propose to you that we limit that to see whether or not we gain any insights rather than attempting to exhaustively reconsider definition of a business, because I do think that is beyond the remit of any interpretive committee, not just this one. Is there general agreement on those as the instruction to the staff?
I'd just say that subject to that outreach, we could then consider next time whether there is an element of sort of highlighting to the board for its post-implementation review of business combinations that will start quarter two next year to look at this guidance in B7 to B11 of IFRS 3 in terms of the clarity that is lacking there.
Good. Okay, Thomas, that one went so easily. Why don't you hit us with the next one?
All right.
Or is there someone who would like to take a short break before we do that, since it's kind of a natural stopping point? Ruth,
ask a question.
You wanted to send to the break?
I just wanted to ask a quick question for the staff to consider with the annual improvement.